From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that focus on the Savior Himself, as revealed in His teaching and miracles, His atoning death on the cross, and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 56. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. He never deserted them, but they, in cowardly fear of their lives, fled from him in the very beginning of his sufferings. This is but one instructive instance of the frailty of all believers, if left to themselves. They are but sheep at the best, and they flee when the wolf cometh. They'd all been warned of the danger, and had promised to die rather than leave their master, and yet they were seized with sudden panic and took to their heels. It may be that I, at the opening of this day, have braced up my mind to bear a trial for the Lord's sake, and I imagine myself to be certain to exhibit perfect fidelity. But let me be very jealous of myself, lest, having the same evil heart of unbelief, I should depart from my Lord as the apostles did. It is one thing to promise, and quite another to perform. It would have been to their eternal honor to have stood at Jesus' side right manfully. They fled from honor. May I be kept from imitating them. Where else could they have been so safe as near their master, who could presently call for 12 legions of angels? They fled from their true safety. O God, let me not play the fool also. Divine grace can make the coward brave. The smoking flax can flame forth like fire on the altar when the Lord wills it. These very apostles, who were timid as hares, grew to be as bold as lions after the Spirit had descended upon them. And even so the Holy Spirit can make my recreant spirit brave to confess my Lord and witness for His truth. What anguish must have filled the Savior as He saw His friends so faithless! This was one bitter ingredient in His cup. But that cup is drained dry. Let me not put another drop in it. If I forsake my Lord, I shall crucify him afresh and put him to an open shame. Keep me, O blessed Spirit, from an end so shameful.
Steadfast faith in God, assured and unashamed, the faith that moved the saints of old to face the sword and flame. Oh, for a faith that follows God, great.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. On today's edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the theme of Christ selecting and directing His disciples. From passages in Luke chapters 9 and 10, we see the Lord Jesus preparing His disciples for service. We've seen the need for counting the cost of discipleship. It requires complete surrender to Christ. The commission is to bring the gospel to the lost without becoming distracted by lesser issues. Christ cautioned the disciples against pride in the work of God. The power to serve comes from God, and all the glory must go to Him. In addition, Jesus taught the disciples the need for compassion in spiritual labors, as exemplified in the parable of the Good Samaritan. The final lesson is found in the example of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing His word. Christ said that this is the one needful thing. This is the key to effective discipleship. Now Dr. Cairns will conclude this message, Christ selecting and directing His disciples.
Many a time a good work has been stopped through pride more than through any enemy action from the outside. This is why the Lord, I believe, is so slow to bless us. And might we cry, Lord, we're ready for revival. I often think of those words of Malachi when he says that, yes, the Lord will visit His temple, but who may abide the day of His coming? When He comes, who can stand the heat of the fire of the holy presence of Christ? Who can do it? We're so immature that very often the very blessings of God become a reason for us to puff out our chest with pride. We have seen what others haven't seen. We have felt what others don't feel. We know what others don't know. May God help us. That's the very pride that will wreck any work of God. What's the answer to it? Verse 20 tells you what the answer is. Don't be rejoicing that the spirits are subject unto you. Rejoice rather in this, because your names are written in heaven. Never get beyond the fact, I am just a sinner saved by grace. Never get beyond the fact, I could have been in hell today. If God had given me the millionth part of what I deserve, I would have been in hell long ago. But he has redeemed me, saved me by his grace. My name is written in heaven. I don't have time to go on with this, but we so often look at other people and say, why did the Lord never make me a better preacher, a greater soul winner? Why did God not give me greater gifts, greater talents? Why has he not given me a greater sphere of service? Why has he not used me? Why will God? It's as if we're saying the Lord is holding me back. Here am I, all ready and willing to do great things for God, and he won't let me do them. Why? Listen. God has made you his own child. He saved you with the blood of his own dear son. He has taken the red ink of the Redeemer's blood and he has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you have the audacity to moan at what he hasn't given you? Anything God hasn't given us, he has held back for our good. Because when he gave us Christ, he gave us everything. Rejoice in this. And hear the caution. Let not pride destroy the work of grace. In the part we didn't read, the Lord Jesus illustrates the compassion of his disciples. Time forbids that we go into it in any detail. There was a lawyer who tempted Christ, got more than he bargained for when he did so. At heart, he was a narrow-minded bigot full of his own self-righteousness who really thought that he was good enough by his works to get to heaven. And yet he comes in, he's really saying to the Lord Jesus as he tempts him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord Jesus answers him with a parable that exposed his prejudice, his bigotry, and the emptiness of his religion that was devoid of love for God and man. Told him a story of the Good Samaritan, a story I trust you will all know without my taking time to repeat it this morning. The Samaritan had no dealings with Jews, and the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Now you understand why Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun. You have that in America. We have it in Northern Ireland. But you have it everywhere on earth. You have your Jews and your Samaritans. May not go under those names always. We don't deal with those people. This Samaritan found a Jew robbed and dying. Two Jews had left him to die. And he went over, he ministered to him. He spent money and time and effort. In other words, he showed the compassion of Christ. Two things motivated his service: love for God, fulfilling the first great commandment of the law, and love for man. Love for your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? That's what the parable's all about. Your neighbor's not people of the same race or religion, necessarily, or only. Your neighbor's not the people you naturally like. Your neighbor's not the people who have done good things for you. Your neighbor is any man of any description in need of the grace of God that God brings across your path, and you serve Him not out of duty, but out of love for God and love for Him. And I have to tell you, brethren, this is where our discipleship fails. And I include me there. This is where we fail. We have a religion of knowledge, and we ought to know what we believe. We have a religion of truth. We ought to rejoice in that truth. But I fear we have a religion of very little heart. I've mentioned to you before, I've been reading a couple of books recently on the ministry of the Wesley and the early Methodists. It's easy to pick holes in Wesley's theology. It's easy to find fault with Wesley's imperious, at times egotistical manner of behavior. One thing you can't find fault with is this: the emphasis that the early Methodists put on what they called, and I have to confess, theologically developed in a wrong way, but nonetheless, it consumed them, the thought of perfect love. When John Wesley went into a town and was literally dragged by the hair of his head from one end of the town to the other, and to get up to bless and preach to the very people who did it, and tell them the love of Christ. I want to tell you, that's something that I think we know very little about. The compassion of a heart in love with Christ and a heart in love with perishing sinners. It's easy to look at the sinner and say, he's filthy. And what do you think you were and I was by nature? It's easy to put him off with a Pharisee's wrinkling of the nose and say, he stinks in the nostrils of God and in mine. Listen, it is true we are to hate sin with a passion, but let's start by hating it in here, in our own hearts. And let us realize that if we don't serve perishing men and women because we love God, and because we have a God-given love for sinners, we'll never do anything for Him. How do you get that? Well, that's where we finish with the story of Mary and Martha, which emphasizes the chief concern of Christ's disciples. It's a very human story of two good, even great women. Mary sits at Jesus' feet. Martha, like most women who have people come visiting, she's gone out of her mind. Is the house clean? Have I the best dishes out? Have I cooked enough? And she's run ragged. Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet, and Martha asked the Lord to reprimand her. And that's when He says, Martha, Martha. You're careful, full of care. You're in turmoil and you're troubled about many things. But of one thing there is need, and that's what Mary has chosen. And I won't take it away from her. What was it? To sit at Jesus' feet. Now, Martha's work was necessary. Let's not get on her case. Martha's work was necessary. You fellows are out at work all day and you come home and there's no food on the table. And the children have never been washed. And the floor's never been swept. And yesterday's dishes have never been washed. Hey, don't tell me you're going to say, "No, I'm glad you were studying your Bible all day." Her work was necessary. But you see, Mary's attitude was to govern all work. One thing necessary, to sit at Jesus' feet. And listen, if we're going to pay the cost of discipleship, whatever that cost may be, if we're going to fulfill the commission of discipleship and give men and women the truth and the light of eternity, if we're going to obey Christ's caution and escape pride in the flesh, if we're going to have that compassion and love for God and for man, it will only come as we sit at Jesus' feet. I'll give you an outline and you can follow it through for yourself. Here in our text, Mary sat at his feet for instruction. In John chapter 11, at the death of her brother, she sat at Jesus' feet to bring her griefs to him. In John chapter 12, and she pours out her ointment, and there she's at Jesus' feet, pouring out her love and her devotion. And that's the one thing that's needful. Men and women, we need to spend time at the feet of Christ. And then there's busy, busy world. That's what's to govern everything else. If I haven't time to sit at Jesus' feet because I'm busy doing other things, then my life is utterly out of control. I'm out of control and I'm losing the focus of the will of God. This must govern sitting at Jesus' feet. This is where you get the calmness when everybody else is going mad all around you. This is where you get the faith when you're challenged by circumstances that would appear to say your life, your business, your home, your affairs are going to be destroyed. Sitting at Jesus' feet. This is where you get the love for God. This is where you get the love for man. This is where you get the message and the power to preach it. This is where you get the authority over Satan and all his powers. This is the key to discipleship. I trust this morning that the Lord will direct you and me as disciples into effective spiritual service for him.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.